Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We are in the happy hour. And, man, Aztecs are able, we talked about it earlier, we're able to survive in advance. And so they'll take on. And, you know, I got to say, I didn't pick it in my bracket, as I'm getting crushed in that, as I mentioned earlier, but that Furman win is looking quite nice right now as the Aztecs get prepared for their second round, although it's going to be a pretty early game.
Yeah, pretty early. I mean, as a matter of fact, Tony, I got to go home now. You know, I'm an old fella. I got to get my rest before this game tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to need to go to bed before dinner tonight. I honestly, and I said it earlier, I think the NCAA is doing no favors to San Diego State. And I honestly don't think it's a fair move. It really, truly isn't. Nobody plays basketball at 9 o'clock in the morning. And the Aztecs have only been on the East Coast for, what, 2 or 3 days now, and expecting their body clocks to be ready to, you know, compete at a level they're going to have to compete at to advance to the Sweet 16, I think is really making it difficult on them. Now, I'm not about excuses, so if they lose the game, they're going to lose the game. And I guarantee you Brian Dutcher and his team will never use this as an excuse, but I think it was unwise of the NCAA. I mean, you do have to play a 9 a.m. game, and I understand that it's on the East Coast and you want to get every game on television, but I don't think you should involve a West Coast team in that game. And to me, it wouldn't have been that difficult to choose another game. There's 8 games on the schedule for tomorrow, and I think the Aztecs are – I honestly think they're totally getting hosed, and I'm not, like I said, you know me, I'm not into excuses. I'm not into, well, that's not fair, but it isn't. And, you know, we'll have to see how well the Aztecs deal with it. As far as Furman's concerned, be careful what you wish for, right? I mean, I was hoping Furman would beat Virginia just to give the Aztecs a number 13 seed in the draw. But Furman looks like a spectacular team. And don't forget, they won the game yesterday with their leading scorer on the bench having fouled out with 7 minutes to play. That's probably not going to happen again in the game tomorrow. The only good news that I see for the Aztecs going into this game is the fact that they didn't play very well in their first game. And I think that the Aztecs have a whole lot higher level they can get to.
Offensively, they didn't play well at all, really. But I tell you what, the thing that stood out to me is when it got to crunch time, this is the first time in a while where it felt like the Aztecs had a dude on their team. They could just say, here, get us a bucket.
Yeah.
And you saw that from Bradley down the stretch. And that made me feel so much better as you got into that 2-3 minute area that they could. And the best part about it is they hadn't done it all year, right? They hadn't really had to say, all right, Matt, go get us a bucket.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they did down the stretch there. And he got us buckets. And, you know, I thought they still played. You could see how the College of Charleston, like, can be a difficult matchup with the way they play. I mean, they were just hoisting three-pointers up. I mean, good looks, bad looks, and then it kind of spaced them out. They were able to get some layups, but I feel good about where the Aztecs are. And this tournament has been wild thus far, it seems like.
I'm just hoping that the Aztecs will be so tired that they won't be able to be nervous. I mean, that to me was one of the big problems that they had, especially in the first 10 minutes of that game against College of Charleston yesterday, Tony. Brian Dutcher even said so. they were just nervous. He said we look like a team in our first NCAA tournament game, and he goes, that's somewhat understandable, but we got to calm down. I don't think they can afford that to happen in this game tomorrow. They've got to come out loose. They've got to come out confident, and they got to play up to their capabilities. We haven't seen them play a game up to their capabilities probably since the Boise State game at home when they ran them off the court about a month and a half ago. I'm really looking to see one game where the Aztecs have not only a couple of contributors alongside Matt Bradley, but have a bunch of them. Adam Seiko didn't get a shot at all in that game. Had 1 point. Darian Trammell continues to struggle, I think, with confidence. He's got to just let the ball fly. He had 1 3-pointer. It was a big one yesterday because it put him into the lead in the second half. But he needs to, he needs to help. He needs to be more consistent. He can't be fumbling the ball around. He's got to run the offense a little bit better. Nathan Mensah has to find his way to the glass on the offensive end and get some stick backs. These guys are capable of doing this. They didn't really show up in game one. And I'm looking for those guys to have a big game. I'm looking for Ladie to be even better than he was, a rope to be even better than he was. So I think, the Aztecs have a lot of room for improvement, and that is the one thing that makes me feel better about this game tomorrow, regardless of when they're playing it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I have to think some other West Coast teams have been able to been in this same position where they've had to play an early game in the South at some point.
Yeah, it's probably happened before, and I wonder what the record is of those West Coast teams. I mean, the Aztecs, for a long time, even under Steve Fisher, would never fare well in afternoon games. I remember that being kind of a bugaboo for several years. And, look, the first game they played on Thursday was an afternoon game, West Coast time. But this is really crazy, though. 9 a.m. start. I don't recall the Aztecs or any team really ever having to do this, except for the football team. Do you remember when the football team a couple of years ago played Boise State at home at 9 o'clock in the morning? That was crazy. This is going to be a great challenge for the Aztecs. I know Brian Dutcher. I know this staff. I know these kids. They're gonna accept the time of the game, and they're gonna use it as a challenge and say, hey, it's just one more thing we got to overcome. That's what they're going to do. But I'm telling you, if they end up losing this game, people like me are going to be really upset.
That's not what you're going to do, though, huh?
No, that's not what I'm going to do, because I don't think it's fair. I don't. I really don't. I mean, to me, it's like having an East Coast team play at midnight. It just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right for an NCAA tournament to do this. But they've done it. They've done it. So we have to accept it and go forward.
Let's talk some Padre baseball. I don't know if you guys noticed it yesterday. You probably did. It's been written about a little bit, but Bo Mel seemed a little concerned about the two things that Yu Darvish threw out of relief.
Yeah,
and how that pertains to him being ready for opening. I mean, you could just tell when I was in the scrum. You could see there was a little bit of trepidation about the whole situation.
You could hear it in his voice. I mean, it seemed like he was biting his lip when he was asked about Darvish pitching two innings in relief. I don't think he wanted to be publicly critical, but I think privately he was really kicking and screaming and very upset. And I think the thing that he's really worried about now is that Japan has two more games left. And how are they going to use Darvish in these two games? And are they going to use Darvish in these two games? And is he going to be able to come back to San Diego and have time to get his arm ready for opening day? And, it seems to me that the Padres got, again, a little bit of the short end of the stick here. I don't want to sound like a complainer, but I guess that's what I'm sounding like right now.
What is going on today?
I'm really whiny. I've been hanging around Scraby for an entire week. It happens. But look, I just... I would think that the Padres and Team Japan had at least a verbal understanding of how Darvish was going to be used in this tournament. And it seems to me that judging by Bo Mel's reaction yesterday, Japan hasn't held up its end of the bargain. So, it seems to me the Padres have a little right to be upset. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, if Darvish can't pitch opening day and he has to pitch in the second or third game of the season, so be it. But I guess it's the price you pay to have so many guys in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah. Well, first, I don't know that I've heard there be of any verbal agreement between the two sides. So
yeah, I know.
We don't know that that's an actual thing. But, yeah, no, certainly you understand why Bo Mel felt that way because, you know, he may not get a start here in Arizona depending on how far they go. You don't know how the days actually line up. I'm sure they would see him throw in a spring training game before it's all said and done, but that may not end up lining up depending on how he's used, when he's used. And I think that's where the kind of uneasiness that we all kind of heard from Bo Mel. I don't think – I'm trying to figure out – the USA hasn't announced who's starting their next game Saturday. We do know we got Urias versus Stroman in tonight's quarterfinal matchup between Puerto Rico and Mexico. But Venezuela and the USA haven't named who their starter is, so I don't know what that means with Nick Martinez. Although I'm sure it's probably a little bit easier communication lines with the USA team considering that they've been down here. So it's probably right. easier to figure out what Nick Martinez's kind of game plan is versus Yu Darvish, who's really been in Japan.
Yeah, he's halfway around the world. So, you know, a lot of people said this during the course of the tournament, that this WBC is going to be really good for the position players and questionably good for some of the starters. Because the position players are out there getting big time at bats. They're getting pressure at bats. They're facing pitchers that are bearing down. They're getting quality at bats in this WBC. And yeah. I think that's only going to make them all better for the start of the season. The Machados, the Sotos, the Kims, the Bogarts, everybody like that. So you have to take the good with the bad a little bit.
Yeah, you saw what Kim did yesterday. Came back, three knocks right out the gate. And so I agree. I've always felt like that. WBC definitely favors the position players because you go from working on something every at-bat until you probably get to, like, the last 2 weeks to all of a sudden there's no more work. You're trying to, like, you know, win ball games. That means moving runners. That means so many different things that are helpful for winning baseball. It gets you more prepared for it. Then where the pitchers is a little more complicated. Like, as much as I'm sure they want to go out and dominate and beat them down themselves, they're still building up to be able to throw 100-plus pitches when they get to that time of the season. So it's a little bit more complicated journey for the pitchers, but you know, you're exactly right. This is what the kind of hesitation was on the starting pitching side.
Yeah. Well, look, the Padres, like I said, you got to take the good with the bad. I would not change anything. I would not cancel the World Baseball Classic in future years. I would not make my players available for the World Baseball Classic in future years. It is what it is. Still 162 game season. There's no excuses, like I said. If Darvish can't start opening day, he'll certainly be able to start the second or third game. Padres will work this out just fine. And I kind of like the fact that they've had so much representation in this tournament, and I think in the end it's going to be a good thing.
I 100% agree. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's get to break. When we return, more Gwen and Chris. Here's some traffic.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On 93 The Fan, Tony and Chris are actually off to their respective jobs right now. Chris is calling the Aztecs women's basketball game down at Viejas between UC Irvine and San Diego State in the women's NIT, and Tony is off to call the Padres game tonight that you'll hear right here on 97.3 The Fan starting at 6:30 is when they take the air. The first pitch, I believe, is around 6:40. I just wanted to shout out right now. I wanted to shout out a great listener named Gabe and his band, Dispersed. This is their song, Crushing Doubt. I met Gabe at FanFest, actually. And he had been messaging back and we had been messaging back and forth for a little while. And he was asking me if I could play one of his songs. And I said, give me an instrumental and I'll play it if it's good enough. No, it's definitely good enough. So, Gabe, I know that you've been waiting a long time, you and your bandmates. So I hope that you appreciate us putting this in the rotation. I know you appreciate it, but anyway, Gabe, you are someone that listens to the show a lot, so I will help you get your music out there. Dispersed, Crushing Doubt. Now, the March Madness that's going on right now is getting interesting because Purdue is the number one seed, and they're playing Fairleigh Dickinson. And before, when we went into the break, I was looking up at the screen. I was planning on coming back and telling you that Fairleigh Dickinson is leading the game, but they are no longer leading the game. Purdue has turned it around very quickly, and now they are up on Fairleigh Dickinson. So we'll keep an eye on that. Our Gwynn and Chris bracket is actually kind of shaping up. I know Chris won't tell you that it's shaping up because his champion is out, but there are six entrants that are in first right now. The bracket name, One Shining Moment, then TJ, and then Craig, and then Jeffrey, and then you got Chris, but his champion is out. So, you know, he already said that. He's not going to put any stock into this, but again, appreciate everyone who signed up for the bracket. And everyone that's going to beat me and Tony, because Tony and I are right there at the bottom, and it's embarrassing. This happens to me every year, and I know it happens to everyone every year, but it just feels like it's always happening to me, where the first game of the tournament ends up being a game where the team that I picked maybe to go all the way goes out. I remember the year Louisville went out early in the NCAA tournament. I had them picked to go all the way. And so it just always happens like that. Why can't I have my champion get out in like the Sweet 16 or something like that? Because that would be much more fun than knowing that your bracket is done by or after the first round. Purdue leading 46-41. The Padres, as I said, they are taking on the Seattle Mariners tonight, the natural rivals, as we've been joking on the show about that. And we did get some good news from Bob Melvin about an hour ago or so. We played this for you, but we did get some good news about Adrian Morejon, the lefty for the Padres. He exited the game, I believe, last Sunday with arm discomfort, and it didn't look good, and we know that he's had injuries to his throwing arm before, and so it was a little touch and go right there. Hopefully, we were all hoping that Adrian Morejon would not have to miss the entire season, and Bob Melvin today gave us a little bit of an update on how he's doing.
MRI clean, so it's going to be all about when he's asymptomatic. So whether it's a few days or whatever, we're not sure about that yet, but MRI came back clean.
MRI. So that is great news. He said asymptomatic. The first time I heard that, I thought maybe he had COVID, but no, I get it. It's like when his elbow feels good, they're going to start working him back towards throwing again. So that's really good, really good news. You never want to see a young pitcher have two Tommy John surgeries early in their career. It's obviously not very good for them, and it would hurt the Padres. The Padres need all the pitching they can get this year. We've talked about it a couple times, more than a couple times. The starting rotation right now is a little out of whack, just a little. I mean, basically, Joe Musgrove, we don't know if Joe Musgrove is going to be available for opening day or even the first week of the season with his broken toe. We also are not sure about Yu Darvish. We don't know about Yu Darvish and what is going to happen here with the World Baseball Classic. It doesn't seem like Yu Darvish is going to be pitching any spring training games with the Padres, which is fine. I don't think that Yu Darvish has any issue coming back and just pitching. He's been doing it for a long enough time. But him coming out of the bullpen the other night for Japan in the WBC was a big deal. And we played it on the show. We talked about it earlier in the 2 p.m. hour, if you go back and podcast it, that Bob Melvin was not too happy about Yu Darvish pitching two innings in relief for Japan because it just throws off his entire schedule. We know how much a creature of habit is, or Yu Darvish is. And so I can't imagine that Yu Darvish is going to let it get too out of control. But there are questions right now being thrown around if Yu Darvish is going to be available for opening day. He is their number one pitcher. So I know that Chris was saying yesterday opening day didn't really matter, but I really want to see Yu Darvish on the mound for the Padres on opening day. That's what was supposed to happen. So there still could be up to two games left for Japan in the World Baseball Classic. And I think if Yu Darvish knows his body pretty well, but I have a feeling that Bob Melvin and his assistant coaches are talking about this behind closed doors, thinking, what in the heck? Now we got to adjust everything. And, kudos to the Padres for not really making any deal at all about their players going to play in the World Baseball Classic. And we saw what happened with Edwin Diaz. I'm just happy it wasn't any of the Padres. Not to take away from Edwin Diaz. I'm not downplaying it because he wasn't a Padre. But it's just very good that the Padres came back healthy and they came back ready to go. Now, Juan Soto is back from the World Baseball Classic. And he had a great World Baseball Classic. We talked about his home run to dead center the other night against Puerto Rico. It was 460 feet plus. So Juan Soto's definitely hitting the ball better. He also is working on his mechanics, but he had that calf injury going into the World Baseball Classic that kind of kept him around the team for a little bit longer. I know Manny and Nelson Cruz and some of those other guys flew out early in the week a couple weeks ago to Miami, and Juan Soto stayed back and did some calf calf treatment. And so he was with the media today in the clubhouse. Here is how his calf is feeling.
Calf's not an issue anymore?
Not anymore, it feels pretty good. I play all those games on the turf, and I was really impressed how my body reacts and everything. It feels good. So far, we're good. We're going to keep doing treatment, but it feels great right now.
It seemed like there's some miscommunication about how many days in a row you could play. Do you know what happened there? It seemed like you got
that. Yeah, I talked with the doctor, like we say, the first day I get there, I told them we have no restrictions or anything. Bob told me I can do whatever I want, but definitely I talked with the doctor, and the best plan was try to don't play three games in a row, and we were talking about what is the best game, Israel or Puerto Rico. So if I play Israel, it's going to be tough for me to play Puerto Rico, so that's why the miscommunication. But we called the doctor in the morning. He cleared me up. He told me that will be fine, but make sure I'm feeling great. And that's what was happening. I mean, it's no restrictions or anything. It was just the plan that I have with the doctor. That was the plan I take over there. It wasn't a restriction for the team at all.
So that's really good news, because Juan Soto needs to be healthy the entire season for the Padres, and he just looks like he's on another level this season. It doesn't even look like the same guy at the plate that all of us watched last year when he was traded to the Padres, and I really do. I said this last season at the end of the season, but I really do feel like Juan Soto having a offseason in San Diego with his team, not having to worry about where his future's at and not having to worry about, is my team going to be any good this year? When he was with the Nationals last year, coming into the year, not many people gave him a chance to do anything. So Juan Soto knows that he's on a team with World Series aspirations. He knows that he's a huge part of that team, and he just looks different to me and to a lot of other people when he's up at the plate for the Padres. I mean, his spring training was incredible. He continued that in the World Baseball Classic. So things are very exciting for Juan Soto and the Padres. He also talked to reporters in the clubhouse and our own Sammy Leavitt about how he is seeing the ball and why it's way different.
It's way different. I mean, the way I'm seeing the ball now, as I see it and last year. It's just way different. Right now I'm feeling like 2020 spring training. It was a great feeling. It's just amazing how I'm seeing the ball.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, just the grind I've been putting on. you know, mechanical, I was off last year, the whole year, trying to find my mechanics, but I think I really find it again.
So when did your swing last feel like it feels right now, 2020 or 2021?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that right now. You know, seeing the ball, hitting the ball on my ways.
So that was Juan Soto, and everything sounds very good from Juan Soto in spring training and for the Padres. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do this year. It should be an amazing year all the way around. If you go to 97.3 The Fan SD right now, there's some pictures up from before the game, Juan Soto in the batting cage tonight, and all the Padres tonight for their spring training game are going to be wearing green hats, it looks like. Bob Melvin did his press conference and media scrum with his green hat for St. Patrick's Day. So if you celebrate, happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there. Padres are going to be playing tonight against the Mariners, 6:40 p.m. first pitch-ish, but 6:30, Jesse and Tony are going to be with you, and they will be taking you through the game tonight. We're going to have a lot of games here on 97.3 The Fan over the next couple days with the weekend and all of that stuff. So Padres are ramping up. I think we're 13 days until opening day. The spring training point, at this point, spring training gets, I'm not even there and I'm antsy for the regular season to start. I can't imagine what the players feel like, what Tony feels like, what Sammy Lev feels like. They've been there for a long time and all of them have done great jobs covering the Padres for us while we're here in San Diego. So make sure you head over to our social media, 97.3 The Fan SD on Twitter and then 97.3 The Fan on Facebook to check out all the stuff that we put up there for you. Now, back to the tournament. Fairleigh Dickinson has taken the lead again over Purdue, 52-50 with 8 minutes left. And if this upset happens, it's going to be the second time a 16 seed has beat a 1 seed. And it would also hurt a lot of people's brackets. I don't know how I got this one close. I mean, the game's not over yet, but I didn't pick Purdue to go far, so I can make up a little bit of ground if Purdue loses here. But Fairleigh Dickinson putting up a really good fight against Purdue. Some of the other games, Kentucky is beating Providence 42-37 with 14:40 left. The Gonzaga Bulldogs are at the half with Grand Canyon. They are only leading by 4. So I took Gonzaga by like 15 points. They need to put it on in the second half if I need that bet, or if I'm going to have that bet win. Baylor trounced the UCSB Gauchos 74. I believe it was 74-56. And so those are some of the scores that are happening right now in March Madness. Aztecs are going to be playing tomorrow, 9:10 a.m. against Furman. Chris has been saying it all day long that the game is just a little bit too early for the Aztecs, but I really don't think it's going to – I can't say I really don't think it's going to be a problem, but these guys have played basketball all year. I think that they're going to be fine. They're going to show up. They're going to just get into, you know, get warmed up, and everything's going to be like normal for the Aztecs. But they do play Furman, and they have a chance. If they win tomorrow, they move on to the Sweet 16. So forget about one win for Brian Dutcher. Let's get a couple more wins for Brian Dutcher. And tomorrow is a chance for them to get one more win for Brian Dutcher and into the second weekend for the first time in I don't have it in front of me, but it's been a long time since the Aztecs have been into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I'm Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris. Tony's going to be calling the Padres game tonight. Chris is going to be calling the Aztecs women's basketball game in the WNIT against UC Irvine. When we get back, we have our interview of the week, and I still haven't chose which one I'm going to do yet. We have a lot of good ones for this week, so stick around. We'll play it for you when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's Discount Furniture, home of the world-famous Bobalpedic mattresses with all the comfort and quality of a national mattress brand for half the price. No matter your budget, there is a Bobalpedic Memory Foam Hybrid or Hybrid Plus mattress for you. Check them out at mybobs.com. Also, you need to check out the morning show and the midday show, Ben Woods and John Quintero show, on opening day. Join 97.3 The Fan on Thursday, March 30th at Happy Does at 340 Fifth Avenue for opening day, presented by Coors Light, Made to Chill. Bennett Woods and Coach Quintero will broadcast live from 6 a.m. to noon leading up to the opener. I believe the opener is a 110 game this year, so Chris and I will not get to be a part of the festivities out and about, but we will join the festivities as the year goes along. The 110 game gets over around like 4:10, then the post game 5:10. So Chris and I will be on after Sammy Lev signs off the post game show, but we will not be at Happy Does. We will be here in studio, and that's going to be coming to you in about 13 days. Purdue, I'm going to keep talking about it because Fairleigh Dickinson keeps leading. They're up 54-53 with 4:45 left in the game. So Purdue down 1 point, and Fairleigh Dickinson is putting the pressure on Purdue. Definitely putting the pressure on Purdue. They're putting up on the screen right now. The last two losses for Purdue in the tournament were to St. Peter's last year and then another 13 seed the year before. So they are familiar, I guess, with some of these early exits that they've been going through the last 3 years or so, but they still have a chance here. 4:30 left, 54-53. Fairleigh Dickinson leads. Other games, Gonzaga still a half, leading 40-36 over Grand Canyon. Kentucky leads Providence 46-37. St. Mary's beat VCU 63-51. Marquette beat up on Vermont 78-61. And Pitt beat Iowa State 59-41. So Chris was right. The team that gets hot and goes into the tournament in the playing game wins another one. So maybe that's my new strategy for going to for next year. I'm going to have to pay attention to those playing games because there might be something there. So the interview of the week today, I have decided on something that we did earlier in the week, and it was with USD baseball coach Brock Ungerich. Tony asked him a question I thought was really interesting because I've never really thought about it this way, but he asked him at some point during the interview, what is a USD baseball player? How would you describe what you're looking for? And I thought that was an interesting question just because you don't know from program to program what the answer is going to be. We had both Mark Martinez and Brock Ungerich on the show this week. We asked them the questions, and they had different answers, which was very interesting to me, and it was interesting about USD. So we're going to go to traffic here. And then you're going to hear from Brock Ungerich, the USD head baseball coach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I teased the fact that, and my USD insider told me that your very first college home run was affected by Tony Gwynn Jr.'s father. Can you tell? Tony said he didn't know if he remembered the story or not, but I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yes. No, something you'll never forget, but not too many people get to have a story like that, I'll tell you that. And I think Coach Gwynn felt awful about it, more so than it did bother me, you know, and that just showed you the type of man he was. I think I was third in the on the lineup in the dugout, and then the lineup that he handed to the umpire, I was fourth. And, you know, it was weird because it was my first college home run, probably the farthest ball I probably ever hit, you know, in my life. And I come in, and all the guys, you know, kind of give you the silent treatment, not giving you a high five or anything, and kind of not talking to you and all that. And I'm kind of sitting there waiting, and then all of a sudden the umpire comes over and is talking to Coach, and Coach is like, "Hey, Brock, sorry, you got to go hit again, man. You're up. You hit out of turn, and it's my fault, man. I'm sorry. Go do it." And then I was like, "All right, whatever." Went up there, and then luckily I hit a double to right in that at bat. So it's kind of crazy, but something you'll never forget.
But your home run did not count because you were
did not count. No, and my actual turn to hit was that time to go up there. The guy that was supposed to hit, Jake McClintock, who played with Anthony too,
yeah,
got a strikeout for it. But I felt bad for him, but. It was all good. It was all good.
Brock Ungerich in his second year as USD as a USD baseball coach. Brock, just talk about your journey a little bit. You play some pro ball. You start coaching. You're at Stanford. This job opens up, and in your first year, you guys are able to win a championship. Just talk about the progression of trying to get USD back going in the direction that it once had.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, it's pretty cool to be able to have that experience, the playing experience. And then, you know, I go back to the people that influence you, you know, as coaches. Obviously, your dad, a big influence of mine. And when I played, just, you know, going to the office all the time and sitting there talking to him as a coach and going, okay, when I'm done playing, I really want to do this. This is something I want to do. And then my high school coach Pugh at Mission Bay was a big influence too, as well. And then you get in the coaching ranks and Coach Martinez, at San Diego State, and, then going up to Stanford with Coach Marquis and kind of experiencing that as well too, a very well-run program. And, you know, getting opportunities, right? If things happen, and being able to come back home to San Diego and take over for Coach Hill was awesome. But you take all kind of bits and pieces from everybody you learn, and it's about the people. It's about the relationships. It's about the kids. And that's the best part about doing what I get to do every day, and try to impact them like I was impacted as a player myself, you know. And that's the best part of the gig, you know. And it's about the process, and it's about developing these young men into becoming men through discipline and through love, man. I mean, leading with love is number one in our book.
Brock Ungerich is the head coach at USD baseball and played for Tony's dad at San Diego State. Just I want to get into what you're doing now, but I've always wanted to ask what it was like being recruited as a young kid by Tony Gwynn. I mean, what kind of an impact that had on you? I don't know if he came to your home or came to your games or just having somebody of that magnitude all of a sudden kind of in your life as a young person. And what kind of effect that had on you, Brock?
Well, I'm a big shoe guy. I love shoes. And my first meeting with Tony Sr., I go over to State, and, you know, I was, at that time, you know, recruiting's different. I'm going recruiting today, watching, you know, younger high school kids. But I was a senior, right? I was a senior. That's when you committed your fall of your senior year. And I go in and I sit down. First time I got to meet with him, and first comment, he goes, "God, you love Jordans." I said, "Yep, I love Jordans." And he goes, "My type of guy." So we hit it off right away. I started laughing, and anyways, but that was like the first experience. We sat down, we talked hitting for like 2 hours, and I mean, are you kidding me? What, you know, growing up in San Diego and you idolize Tony Gwynn, and you know, that's when he announced that he was going to retire from the Padres and was going to go coach at State. I was like, man, whenever I get that opportunity, that's my goal. I want to go play for him. And cause I had so much passion about hitting and I wanted to learn, you know, and, a lot that we do at USD is based off of Tony. And, you know, Anthony, your dad used to say all the time, know who you is. You got to know who you is.
Know who you is.
And it's, I don't have it on the wall in our clubhouse yet, but that's all our guys talk about, because they say it every day. You got to know who you are, and you got to know who you are as a player and as a pitcher, as a hitter, or whatever you're doing, whatever athlete you are, whatever sport you play. And you know, something that I kind of took from him. But it was an honor. Are you kidding me? You know, to be recruited by a Hall of Famer, it was unbelievable.
Brock, one of the things you get to do as a head coach running your program is you get to kind of set what it means to be a USD Torero. So when you walk into what is a USD Torero kid look like for you?
Yeah, it's a great point. It's like the right fit in the recruiting process, as everybody says. And the right fit is different at any school, I would say. You know, but for me, it's kind of transparent, right? Where if you're going to be you got to be a great student. And if you're going to be a great student, then that's going to translate to the field. It's going to translate to the weight room. It's going to translate to how you are in society, your character, how you're going to treat people wherever you go. You know, and that's what I'm looking for. You know, that's my fit for our program. And then you get kind of the like-minded individuals. You know, so you get kids that are conscientious about school, that are conscientious about their work off the field, and conscientious about being a good person in the community. Man, if you can give me that along with the talent and have all those match up, then you're gonna put ourselves in a good position to be successful, right? I think that they all got to match. You know, you can't have this uber talented kid and then, you know, then maybe his work ethic is down at the bottom, you know, or his school is down at the bottom. I mean, they all got to be kind of similar, you know, on the same page and being humble too, right? That yeah. comes along with it too, and being a good teammate. So I think that's where we start, and it's hard to say no to that kid that might be really good, but that doesn't fit the box academically, because then you're setting them up for failure. I mean, USD is a tough school. Academically, it is very challenging. So so when you go into it, I think that's kind of like the first thing that we kind of look at, you know, is how are they going to be in school.
Brock Unrich is the head coach of USD, University of San Diego Toreros. Just got done with a weekend series in Fort Worth against TCU. And one thing I know that, you know, before you got there, Rich Hill always played a very challenging schedule. Talk about putting a schedule together and what it means to your program. And what was your thinking when you came in taking over for Rich Hill? Because very, very successful last couple of decades of baseball there for the Toreros.
Yeah, no question. You try not to screw things up, Chris. To be honest, you know, don't overcook anything. You just you try to take one step at a time. And you know, we won the conference last year. We got a lot of guys coming back, and my job as a coach is to prepare them and challenge them. One of our sayings in our program is hard to easy, and doing things, you know, doing the hard work up front, hopefully later on turns into easier road down the path. But this schedule, we were on the road for 12 days. You know, I'm like, hey, let's get on the road and go see where we made it. We went to Oregon first before and got swept, and then went to Oregon State, lost another one there, and then went to TCU, pulled one out 14-2 on that Friday, and then lost two tough ones on Saturday, Sunday. But you know, the result wasn't there, but it's the process going through it. And my older guys, the leadership is key. I can see it in their eyes. They're frustrated, but they're taking ownership of it. They're talking to one another. They're rallying the group. It's not me. I can set the foundation, but they run with it, you know? And guys like Kevin Sim, Jack Costello, Angelo Peraza, you know, Garrett Rennie on the pitching side, like these older guys have been there, which is nice. So now with us starting conference this week ahead, I kind of that hard to easy is take that, not saying conference is easy by any means, but playing all those teams that are on the top 25, Oregon, Oregon State, TCU, all those teams are in the top 25. And, you know, these guys should be prepared for what's ahead of them, I think.
No doubt about it. Terrell's 6-8-1. On the year. They start conference play this week. Brock, man, always fun to catch up with you, man. Certainly appreciate you coming on the show and kind of talking a little bit about your program. We're definitely going to do this again, man. Good luck the rest of the way.
No, I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure. And Chris, thank you as well for having me on, man. I appreciate you guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Brock. Very good.
That was Brock Ungerich on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Thank you to him for joining us earlier in the week. Same with Mark Martinez. Now, this game with Purdue and Fairleigh Dickinson is getting crazy. Fairleigh Dickinson just hit a three to put them at 5, 61-56 with 104 left in the game. Chris and I were talking about Zach Edey, the player that is for Purdue, who's 7'4". They threw the ball into him. Just threw it in the air, hoping that he can get it, and he did catch it, but then he tried to go to the basket. It got knocked out of his hands. They came down the court in a transition type play, and then they hit a three from the top. So this game is looking like it's going to go towards an upset, and it would be the second time in the NCAA tournament history if a 16 seed would beat a 1 seed. And if you were with us maybe 20 minutes ago, I just told you that that Purdue has lost the last two tournaments to very, very low seeds. Last year they lost to St. Peter's, who ended up going deep in the tournament, but they are trying to stave off being the second team of all time to lose to a 16 seed as a 1 seed. Keep an eye on that. 55 seconds to go, 61-56. Gonzaga, 10-point lead on Grand Canyon. I need like 6 more points, Gonzaga. Come on. 15-28 left in that one. Drake leading Miami 30-25 at the half. Kentucky 46-38 over Providence. 7:55 left in that one. Hope everyone has a great weekend watching March Madness, listening to Padres baseball, and hope that the Aztecs win tomorrow over Furman, and we're talking about a Sweet 16 team come Monday. I'm Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris. We'll be back with you next week. But stick around because it's 6:30, Padres baseball coming on 97.3 The Fan. Have a good weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.